Well, that was really nice. I don't get that on Tuesday mornings. I don't get that on Tuesday mornings. Okay. I no, really, I don't need it. I really don't. Well, let's pray tonight before we get started. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for everyone that's here tonight. Thank you for the living Word of God that we have in our hearts, Lord, that can change things. And Lord, I ask blessings unto everyone this evening. In your name, amen. We're going to start tonight in Acts 16. So if you have your Bible, you can turn there. But I want to start with a couple of questions tonight. And that is, have you ever prayed for something and God has answered your prayers? Raise your hand. Okay. So then the next thought is, well, what did you do? Well, you were happy, you were blessed. He allowed something to happen. You were grateful. So the second question is, have you prayed to God and he didn't answer your prayers? So raise your hand, right? So now, the way I see it, you have two choices. One, you can keep praying, right? There's nothing wrong with that. You can keep praying. And God likes it when we're persistent in our prayers. When I teach fourth grade and I'm with the kids all day long, and if they ask me one question one time through the day, I don't think they're that interested in it. But now, if that same child asks me 100 times a day that question, I know he's persistent. And that's okay. God likes that. If we're persistent in our prayers and our asking, then he knows we're serious about it. So there's a difference there. So if he's not answering your prayer, you can pray more. The second thing is, you can stop. You can pray for something else. Because the reality is, God tells us no, and that's okay. So in the education field, there's something called now a growth mindset. And if you listen to sports and if you're catching what they're saying in the interviews or the post-interviews, the athletes, and it's more the coaches and the athletes, but they're talking about this growth mindset where it's the power of yet. You know, we're not there yet. It's going to happen. It's about having some grit, some determination to continue on. And if you start listening to coaches, it's starting to come in there. I know the women's volleyball team, the Olympic volleyball team, the coach of that, he's really big into this growth mindset. Research says that to challenge your brain, it can grow. And I mean, we're fourth graders all the time, so I'm challenging them. So I'm having them grow their brain. Research has proven that your brain can grow that way. So if you don't challenge your brain, it's not going to grow. You won't have any growth. So today's lesson is about two no's equal to yes. And that tells me there's some challenge there. So that tells me you can grow through this time. So we're in Acts 16:6. We'll read 6 through 10. Paul and his companions traveled through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word of God in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia, went down to Troas, and during the night Paul had a vision of a man in Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So in verse 6, we have our first no. They wanted to travel to the region of Phrygia and Galatia, but they were kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in a province. So here's the first no. And so God's no is for our protection. That's a theme in tonight. So God's no is for our protection. I want you to repeat that. God's no is for our protection. So here they're forbidden to preach the word. But you say, well, that's good. Well, it's the wrong time for that. They were forbidden at this point in their timing to preach the word. So they were told not to do that. But don't lean on that when you don't feel like it. You can't do that. There's a difference here. The difference is the Holy Spirit is telling them to do that. When you don't feel like it, that's just you not feeling like it. I don't want to get out of my seat today. I don't want to do that. That's just you. Don't rely on that. Here, the big difference is the Spirit of God is directing this work. If Paul wasn't the right person in the right place at the right time to bring the gospel to the Romans and to continue in Asia. That's what his heart was about, was going into Asia to do that. It wasn't God's timing. And God's timing is always a consideration when our prayers aren't being answered. So the second no comes from verse 7. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. The second no. And we know God's no is for our protection. So when they went on, so they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. I looked into this, and this isn't just a minor inconvenience. These no's, these cities were 50 to 100 miles apart. Well, wait a second, they didn't have cars back then. So yes, they're walking this entire distance. I meant a 2 to 4 day walk from one city. Nope, doesn't want me there. Okay, walk 2 to 4 more days walk and go to the next city. Well, then you got to think of food and, you know, drink and how you gonna, where are you going to sleep? So these no's were a challenge. And during that challenge, the brain can grow. Their heart can grow. So this was the third choice on the list of things to do. Paul was responsive to the Holy Spirit. He was willing to lay down his will to go in the direction of the Holy Spirit. Boy, it takes some maturity to get there. Now, we can't have our own agendas and expect God to always bless it. Fourth graders come in, and this year I had many fourth graders come in, and they would have their own agendas. And I kept telling them, no, you can't do that. No, you can't do that. No, you can't. By the end of the day, they were exhausted because I kept telling them no because they had their own agendas. I wish I had a dollar for every time they asked that. But I was telling them no. No, it's not good for you to do that. I was telling them no for their protection. I was telling them no so they could learn something different that day. But it takes maturity to realize when God is telling you no that it's okay. And then verse 9, during the night, Paul had a vision of a man in Macedonia standing and begging him, come to Macedonia and help us. So after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding God had called us to preach the gospel to them. And I think about this. I mean, have I ever made my plans too small? I have. I don't always dream big enough. But I think, how big is God? God is huge. He created the heavens and the earth. He is huge. My dream should be as big as that, not small. And I think Paul was trying to put in what he's always done into what they were doing that day. We'll go from city to city. We'll do the right thing. We're reaching Christians. You know, we want Christians. We're reaching city to city for God. Their heart was in the right place, but they weren't thinking big enough. God wanted to give them a whole continent, not just a city. So when you think about your dreams, are you doing the same thing? Are you thinking the same little dreams when God wants something larger for your life? And that's what's happening here. God wanted to open up their plan for a whole continent that's never been reached before. So my other thought at this point is, what if Paul bagged it in, said, I'm done. I'm not going to walk another two-day journey. I'm not going another 4 more days. Where am I going to get the food? Where am I going to sleep? He could have packed it in and left, gone back to his old ways. But when we do that, we miss God's plan for our life. We miss it. When we pack it in, when we give up, we miss God's plan for our life. He has a detailed plan for each one of us. But when we stop, we miss his plan for our life. So let's continue on. Let's read 11 through 15. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day we went to Neapolis. And from there we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony, and the leading city of the district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath we went outside the city's gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who gathered there. And one of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer of purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. So we've had our two no's. Now they're getting some momentum here. They're in a position in the place where God wants them to be. So they meet Lydia here, and she's a seller of this purple cloth. I like these little details in the Bible, and I like to find out why they're there. So the purple cloth, it's the big deal about it. Well, to me, I had to find out. So purple was something valuable, something luxurious. If you had purple, if you wore purple, it was royalty. It was something that people wanted to have. It was their Sunday best. Like if you sold Rolex watches, you're selling quality. You know, if you drive a Lincoln, right, you drive quality. And that's what it meant. So if you saw purple, you knew that was quality. So this Lydia was a wealthy person. She had a lot of money. She was a highly regarded person in this time. But the key here for her life is she worshiped God, and the Lord opened her heart. So how often do we worship God? I mean, if it's just on Sundays, that's great. But if it's every day we should be doing it. We should be worshiping God, and God will open our heart. And worshiping God comes from different ways you can worship God. But we should be worshiping God so he can open up our heart. And then Lydia gets right onto it. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her house. Immediately, she does her hospitality. She didn't wait. She was saved, bang, right into hospitality. So things are going great. God has where they were supposed to be going, where he wants them to go. They saved the first person. They have momentum going now. Things are just, they're sailing along. They're right, they're stepping in God's plan here. So now let's start with verse 16. Once they were going on to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave with the spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept us up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to her, the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." And at that moment, the Spirit left her. So typically, when the gospel gets going, you know, Satan starts coming around and puts an opposition to it, and that's what he's doing here. This time, it was a demon-possessed slave girl, but she was making a lot of money for her owners. So what really was happening here, this demon-possessed girl here was giving credit to their ministry. So Satan thought, hey, I'm going to get them. I'm going to send this their way. But really, it gave credit to the ministry. So I think it allowed more people to realize, hey, what, you know, there's something happening here. Because, you know, she's shouting it out, what's going on. But now things go bad. They do a healing, right? They have some momentum going. They have Lydia saved. She's hospitable now. And now things go bad. Verse 19, when their owners realized the hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas, dragged them into the marketplace to face authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men and Jews are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs of awful, unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." So the crowd joined in, attacked Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. And after they'd been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer commanded to guard them carefully. And when he received these orders, he put them to the inner cell, and he fastened their feet in stocks. But wait a second. They were doing what God wanted them to do? They were right in where God needed them to be? They're moving on to a continent? And what? Things don't go so well? They were dragged, they're attacked, they're stripped, they're beaten, they're thrown in the prison. And this isn't three hots in a cot, you know, working out in the yard, getting buff, watching TV. This is pretty rough in there. You know, there were spiders and who knows what else is in there, right? Things just aren't going so well, but they're right where God wanted them. And sometimes, you know, we're right where God wants us to be, but things don't go so well. So they were there, but what? Verse 25. They were singing and they were praying and singing hymns to God. But what? They're happy? What? They're joyful at a time like this? We could be happy and joyful when we're going through things too. But see, anyone can be happy in pleasant circumstances, but it takes real joy within us to be happy when things aren't going well. So we have, God has led them here now to this location. We have our two no's, but equal to yes. And we know, and in this case, no means something better. God's telling you no, he has something better. God's telling you no for your protection. So if this is bad, right? Who would say this is bad? Yeah, most of us are saying this is bad. What could have been in Asia for them? God said, no, I don't want you to go to Asia. But we want to go to Asia. No, I don't want you to go. Man, if they stayed, what could have been there? If they're in a bad spot here. What's that? Could have been. You can take it back? So if God is telling you no and things aren't going like you thought, maybe you're going in the wrong direction, but maybe what was headed there was something worse. Right? So at this point, you know, Paul and Silas, they're happy. They're singing. They're praying. They're having a good time down there. So God's up in heaven, enjoying the beautiful sights, the smells. He's just up there looking, oh, this is great, right? But wait, what do I hear down there? Right? So he blows the clouds away a little bit. Oh, hey, that's Paul and Silas. Look. Man, they're having such a good time. What's going on? So he's up there, starts stomping his feet, right? He's got the beat going. He starts pounding, you know. He's got things going on. And you know, Acts 7:49 says, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. So God's up there. He's pounding away. This is good. He's, wow, they're great. See, they worship God and God opened their hearts. And now we go down to verse 25. Twenty-five says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly there was a violent earthquake, and the foundations of the prisons were shaken at once, and the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill him himself. Because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, don't harm yourselves. We are all here. But what? They didn't escape? They stayed? The doors are open. The chains are off. And they stayed? If that would have been me, and my friend Paulie's back there, gone. Gone. I'd been running out that door, but I would have quoted scripture. Because Acts 12, something, something, says it happened with Peter. And an angel came on a special ops mission and got him out. Right? I would have been saying, hey, Acts 12, and we're gone. We're out of here. You're just gone. But they stayed. They stayed. They showed wisdom to stay. It could have been easy for them to escape. But you know what? They were thinking of others. At the hardest time in their life, they were thinking of others. Circumstances said escape, but love said stay. They're not guided by circumstances. And how many times do we let circumstances guide our day, our lives, our week, our moments? We need to stop letting circumstances boss us around. we need to let the Holy Spirit have discernment in our lives. And to add another level of thinking here, that same guard that was going to kill himself, probably the guard that beat them hours earlier, had them chained up. But they stayed for him. Now, verse 29, the jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. And then he brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord into all that's in the house. And that hour of the night, the jailer took them, washed their wounds. And immediately he and all his household were baptized. And the jailer brought them out in his house, set a meal before them, filled them with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. So he was saved at night. His whole family got saved. And now the verse 35. It was daylight, the magistrates sent their officers to the jailer with the order, "Release the men," the jailer told them. "The magistrates have ordered you and Silas to be released. Now you can go in peace." So what was the earthquake for? The next day they were going to get released. Why the earthquake, I thought. The earthquake was to get that man saved and his family saved. What earthquake comes to your life? And what's it for? It's not all about you. It's not all about me. So when earthquakes come to your life, think about what it's there for. Who can you reach during your earthquake? It's not always meant for you. So we have growth here coming through a challenge. Growth will happen through a challenge, which they're in. And sooner or later, God's purposes will come to pass if we don't see the need for obedience. God will create one like he did here. He created this. It was all in his plan. So here God wanted Paul to go to Europe. And God's no was for their protection. God's no was for something better in their lives. And bigger and better isn't always good, we just learned. Better doesn't mean easier. So summarizing the story, we had Lydia, they got saved. That was easy. They healed a demon girl, but that got him into jail. Singing, then the earthquake, the chains fell off, the doors were open, they could have gone. So here's my little summary of this part. A tough season plus an open door doesn't always mean God wants you to leave. A tough season and an open door doesn't always mean God wants you to leave. You never know what happens if you stay. If they ran out that night, the jailer wouldn't have got saved that night. The family wouldn't have got saved that night. They wouldn't have been baptized. I'll leave with this scripture here. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him. And he will make your path straight. Trust, submit, and straight. Paul, you got those pictures? So we have a no. Here's the beach. I was on vacation. So one no. Next picture, Polly. Plus another no. Really foggy that morning. Doesn't look appealing to be out there. And that third picture equals a yes. So two no's sometimes equals a yes. So think, leave tonight knowing God's no is for your protection. You got it.